ਤੁਸੀਂ ਹੋ SBS ਪੰਜਾਬੀ ਦੇ ਨਾਲ।
Now I know we've got a good level, so we're good to go. You happy to start?
Yep.
Thank you. Good to go? All right. So, okay. So we have with us in SBS Melbourne studios, Peter Khalil, the member for Wills. So he represents the Labour Party in the Federal Parliament. Welcome, Peter.
Hi, Manpreet. Sat Sri Akal.
And
happy Bandi Chod Divas.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
My pronunciation is very good. I've got to work on it, yeah?
But I think full marks for the effort. That's great.
Thank you.
The main reason why we have you here, and you know well, yep. is the statements that you've made recently. I'm told it was a group called Australian Kashmiris that had organised a meeting where you spoke as behalf of the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights. Yeah. At the outset, let me clarify and understand where you were coming from.
Yep.
Were these personal remarks or were these made on part of the committee?
They were made, well, let me just give you the context. I'm a member of the Human Rights Subcommittee of Parliament, as a member of Parliament, and that Human Rights Subcommittee heard evidence around the situation in Kashmir from Australian government officials, DFAT officials, and from others who gave evidence to the subcommittee. The event that you refer to was organised by the group in my electorate. The chair of the subcommittee could not, we were invited, the committee members were invited to this event. The chair could not go and asked if I could represent the subcommittee in an official capacity to the event, so at least some members go to that event. Because it was in my electorate, I said, yes, that's fine.
So these were views of the subcommittee itself?
Yes. So when I spoke at this event, I relayed to the people at the event what was given to us by Australian government officials. So Australian government officials briefed the subcommittee. They, and I can tell you what they briefed us on. They briefed us on a number of things around the arrest, house arrest of some of the Kashmiri leaders, on the media blackout and communications blackout. And then they had made representations to Delhi on those issues. By the way, they had also made representations to Pakistan to cease and desist from aiding and abetting any armed groups in violence or terrorist activities. And I relayed all of that to the people at that event. Now, it was an event by Kashmiri Australians, I understand that, but I was very clear when I said to everyone, this is what we heard at the subcommittee, these are the Australian government official statements, they made representations to the governments of Pakistan and India on behalf of the Australian government, and I'm telling you, this audience, these are the issues that were raised by Australian government officials with Indian and Pakistani diplomats. So that was the content, if you like, of those statements. And
if I may jump in here, I have seen that interview. It's on social media, so I've seen that speech. Now, you've just spoken about the house arrest of certain officials, as well as the media blackout, but you went much further in that interview, in that speech that you made. My first question to you then is, do you regard India as an authoritarian state?
No, it's a democracy. It's a great democracy. And important to clarify this, I have been one of the greatest friends of India for over 20 years since I started in the public service in the Department of Defence, Department of Foreign Affairs. I have been arguing that Australia's relationship with India has to be enhanced, has to be more substantive. It is one of the great democracies, the largest democracy in the world.
Wasn't mentioned, because when you prefaced your comments, you prefaced it by saying you always speak up against the rise of authoritarianism, and you mentioned other places where that was taking
place.
That's
certainly not
and
India.
Kashmir was
talk about
part
human
of
rights.
All of that.
I've spoken up on human rights issues in the Parliament in many, many respects for peoples around the world. But India, let's be clear, India's decision to revoke elements of the Constitution is India's decision. We have to respect India. It's an internal matter.
Which was going to be my next question
to you. Let's be clear about this.
And you respect the Indian government's decision?
The Indian government is a democratically elected government. It's their decision to alter their constitution, and that should be respected. Opposition parties obviously voted against it, some Congress party and other parties, but that's part of democracy.
Any robust democracy.
Absolutely. And so let's be clear. India is not in the same category as authoritarian states. It's a democracy, the largest democracy in the world, one which I have argued for decades Australia should have a better relationship with. And again, not just this sort of shallow three C's of cricket, curry and Commonwealth. It's got to be more than that. It's got to be a strategic relationship, the economic relationship, the military linkages, intelligence, security. These are things that we've been falling behind on, frankly, and we've done a little bit better, by the way. I mean, Julia Gillard visited India in a very important meeting to open up that strategic partnership, and subsequent prime ministers have continued that. So let me be very clear, India is a democracy. Its decisions that the government makes should be respected. What I was doing was relaying what was said to us. They gave us a briefing. Now, can I just say, Manpreet, democracies make mistakes as well. Like, that's, I'm not saying India per se in any specific example, but you can talk about issues. India has a free press. It has an opposition, has a government. That's what a democracy is. Like, we're having an open conversation today.
So with respect, what you're saying today doesn't match what you said in that speech, because you clearly talk about extrajudicial killings. And that's something I want to ask you specifically.
Sure, absolutely.
You've said that is happening.
And no, I've said that there have been reports of that happening. We were briefed on
those
things.
Where have you been briefed? So is that the official in Australian government stance that there are...
Because
you're saying you've been briefed.
I'm not the government.
You see, there is intelligence that comes through from DFAT. I'm sure DFAT shares intelligence. Yeah. But is that the official Australian government perspective, or even the Labor Party perspective, that there are extrajudicial killings happening? And the second thing you said was arbitrary, and I say that you use that word a few times.
Arbitrary arrests
and detention, and so who is doing all of that?
Okay, so there were reports, we were briefed and given assessment or reports about what was happening there. It's very hard to get full facts, obviously, because there is a media blackout and a comms blackout, although that's been lifted, as some listeners might be aware. But there were reports around, and there have been reports in the past about extrajudicial killings. Some of these have happened in the past. There were reports about arrests. Some reports say there are a couple of thousand people have been arrested. Some reports
so after the revocation of 370, have you had specific...
That's in the media reports that have come across, and also the briefings
of extrajudicial killings.
There have been reports, or not specifically. I don't have any facts. I can't make conjecture about this. But they were the
but
briefs
you stated that
were
provided. Peter.
Yeah, they were briefs that were given to us, and I just reported that and said that this is what is alleged and reported. So the point
I don't think the word alleged was used, and I don't think. You know how you're saying that India is a robust democracy and they can do what they like in a democracy. I don't think that was said at all in the context of the speech that you made. India was portrayed in a certain way. And I think in hindsight, if you've seen that speech again, you would see that you were casting India as an authoritarian state. How it was prefaced.
I never said that India was an authoritarian state. I sort of beg to differ. That is not what I said. And I've been very, very clear about that. I was very clear in my statements that these were facts that were given to us, or assessments made by Australian government officials, which I'm relaying to that audience. The fact is that human rights is a difficult issue. Democracies are also sometimes guilty of human rights abuses and violations, Australia included, particularly with our Indigenous people. India's a great democracy. It's a world leader. It's a rising superpower. I've made arguments for 20 years that we should have a better relationship with India over many other countries because of these things.
Will your speech improve that? Will your speech help?
Well, you get any other speeches that I've made, Manpreet, over 20 years where I've talked about India and how great India is as a democracy and as a partner for us and a potential partner for us, and then the facts will weigh up in that favour. So it's very clear. When I was, again, I was asked to attend this on behalf of the Human Rights Committee. I was asked to do that on the basis the chair couldn't make it. I passed on the things that were told to us in Parliament to that audience. And the Labor Party doesn't take, as I said, you asked the question about our position. It's India's internal matter around the Constitution.
You accept that?
Well, it's not a matter of accepting. It is the reality. And we've never, ever said otherwise. And I understand that people are very sensitive. I mean, we're talking about decades of sensitivity around this issue of, around Kashmir. So I get it. But it's interesting that, and I'm a bit bemused, that having been someone who's been such a supporter of India and the state of India and the democracy of India and the Indian-Australian people, that making an appearance on behalf of a subcommittee in order to relay what Australian government officials have relayed to diplomats has been taken in this context in such sensitivity.
Peter, I'm surprised to hear you say that you're bemused. Did you know the significance of the flags that were behind you at the podium?
Yes, well, I couldn't rip them down, could I?
No, but so you clearly knew which audience you were addressing.
Yeah, because it was a Kashmiri event. I couldn't do anything about that.
Okay, one of the flags clearly was for the Pakistan-administered Kashmir, and the other flag was for the erstwhile state of Jammu and Kashmir, and that flag is not raised in India. So clearly, the two flags signify...
It's been, the second one's been removed.
You can tell the two flags signify an event where...
Manpreet, I go to dozens, hundreds of events, multicultural events, and there are you can't force the organisers to rip down what's in the background. Or
I did not suggest that at all, Peter. But when you spoke, you said it's for us to make representations to Delhi. It's for us. It was more about our, and you were including yourself in our, in that group, where clearly a very anti-India sentiment was being raised. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. When I was speaking, I was talking about the Australian government. When I say us, I'm not in the government. I'm in the opposition. The Australian government raised matters when it comes to these issues, and I relayed that to the audience. They raised those matters. And to be fair, as I said in the speech, you would know, I also said that they raised matters with Pakistan with respect to armed groups that are conducting violence and terrorism and so on. So, and I said that to that audience as well. The position that we have as a party, and again, we have to distinguish, we're in opposition, in the same way the Congress party might be in opposition, is in opposition in India, is that we are, obviously, we're aware of the issues that have been raised. Some families have been unable to contact their loved ones there. That's of great concern. But clearly, the Labor Party has always said, and Penny Wong has made these in statements as well, that we want a de-escalation of the situation. We respect that this is something that has to be worked out between India, and it's an internal matter with respect to their own constitution. This is what we've said.
So, Peter, have you ever spoken to Kashmiri Pandits?
Yes.
And have you consulted with them?
Yes.
Did you feel the need to raise their side or talk about the human rights violations? Because you did talk a lot about...
And I will be very happy to raise those issues at one of their events.
Have you done it until now?
Well, I have spoken about issues on human rights for a whole range of people, including in the Kashmiri Pandits. So it's not an either-or, Manpreet. You don't go to these events and only just talk... You can't talk about every single issue at an event, right?
You're talking about Kashmir.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
And that's a really big issue in the recent past.
Yeah. And I was talking in the context, this was a issue that was raised in the context of Indian administered Kashmir and the hearings that had occurred at Parliament, which I relayed to that audience. And I did that, I think, as objectively as I could.
Do you recognise that, or do you now agree in hindsight that as a result of that speech that you made, many people in the Indian community have felt hurt?
Of course. And I also recognise this. I've spoken out on human rights on a whole range of issues, and it's upset many, many people because they sometimes make the mistake or the confusion, the conflation between talking about a human rights issue, at least in a factual sense or reporting from a committee, as somehow being against that country. That is not the case. That is not the case. You know, I've spoken up about issues for the Kurdish minority in northern Syria and Iraq. I've spoken about issues for the Rohingya in Myanmar. I've spoken about issues of the Christians who've been persecuted in the Middle East and other parts of the world. I've spoken up for the Uyghurs in China. I've upset everyone. but that doesn't mean I am anti-Iraqi or anti-Chinese. It means that I'm just talking about these issues that have been raised because no one else does. I've spoken up for the protesters in Hong Kong more recently and their right to peaceful protest. You know, if we don't, as leaders of a democracy, openly talk about human rights and issues that are raised where we see them, then who will?
So if you had your time
And by the
again,
way, this is the Indian, you know, there are many people in India that talk about these issues openly. It's a free press in India, and it's a democracy, and there's freedom of expression and freedom of thought. Okay, so many Indians, millions of Indians who voted for the opposition parties have raised some of these issues. I mean, I recall, I think the Congress Party noted that the arrest of some of the leaders in Kashmir were undemocratic and unconstitutional. I think that was Rahul Gandhi.
Which is what you would have in a robust democracy.
Absolutely.
If something happens here, the Labour Party will say something about the coalition government. But I will come back to Kashmir and specifically about how the Indian community in Australia has reacted to your comments over there. You would be aware of a petition that's been going on to be boycotting you at events, and I think it's gathered about 800 signatures.
Yeah.
Have you been to any Diwali event after that?
Well, I'm going to a couple of Diwali events on the weekend.
So far you haven't attended one?
No, but I've got a couple that I'm going to. So, look, the Indian community is very diverse, Manpreet. You know that. India is such a diverse country. There are different political positions. There are ethnicities. There are different cultures and languages. That's why it's such a wonderful country. People are entitled to their view. If they are upset because I relayed some facts that were given to me at a...
You said to me they were not facts. There was... You said to me that this was briefing. These
briefings,
are not facts.
Briefings that were given to me.
So I think it would be very important for you to clarify what those facts.
Sure. Well, I was relaying what was told to us by the Australian government officials.
Which is intelligence, and intelligence usually, you can't say that they are facts.
Yeah, well, some people say intelligence is not intelligent at all. Some people say it's not factual at all.
So your speech was based on that?
Yeah, and I was relaying the representations that were made. What was factual, it is correct to say, was that the Australian government had made representations to Pakistan about armed insurgents and violence, and had made representations to Delhi about lifting the blackout and the communications ban, and also about the house arrest of many of the Kashmiri leaders. So that's factual. I was relaying those facts. They were
factual. That everybody realises. But the way it was couched, as you well are aware, I won't ask the same question again, but let me ask you this. Knowing the fallout and the outcry that's come after this, do you regret those remarks? And do you regret having made the speech in how you prefaced it as authoritarian, you know, speaking up against the rise of authoritarianism, using the words extrajudicial killings and arbitrary arrests in the context of the Indian nation? Do you have regrets for making such a comment, and do you think you owe the Indian community an apology?
So what I don't regret, Manpreet, is speaking at an event. I was asked to go to an event to represent a committee of parliament, which I did. I passed on what I had been told in that committee to the people there. I did not say that India was an authoritarian regime. That is not true. I was talking about other regimes that had been... there was a rise of authoritarianism globally where you have many human rights violations. And I was talking about the context of when I had spoken up about human rights issues generally.
You did, and you said Kurdish, Somalis, Rohingya, Copts, Baha'is, Hong Kong, and then Kashmir in the same breath.
Yeah, so
you did.
Yeah, so I talked about the human rights that I had talked about, but I'd never said that India's a democracy. India's a great democracy, and I've
was
said that many, many times
in
the past.
Do you recall saying India is...
Well, if I regret anything, it's not maybe clarifying to that audience that India's a great democracy. I did say... If you would recall in the speech, I did say that Indian politics or subcontinental politics is very complex.
Yes, you did.
There are many opposition
that.
Parties, there are many government parties, people have different views. That's a good thing. I think that was implied that it's a democracy and so on. So to be clear, I never made that explicit statement at all. And people might be upset about that. And people have been upset about me talking about human rights on a whole range of issues. Does that mean I should stop going to events or attending events? I think the people in the community who some people might say you shouldn't attend that event at all. Why are you attending that event?
I don't think it's been questioned. It's been questioned the selective use of human rights for a certain section of the community, whereas another section of the community has been ignored.
Selective. I can tell
my
you,
question again to you is, do you think you owe the Indian community an apology?
Well, I haven't said anything against the Indian community. And the Australian Indian community...
You know they're hurting by your comments.
In what way are they hurting, Manpreet?
Explain to me
how people are hurt.
Okay, so...
Because I relayed representations made by the Australian government. I'm not even in the government. I'm in the opposition.
So as what I've heard from people who've raised a petition against you, they're saying these are irresponsible comments made by someone who is representing a parliamentary committee. And because they're so irresponsible and they've caused hurt, they feel the Indian community has been tainted.
Well, that's not true. And where's the irresponsibility in actually relaying what was said as far as representations made by the Australian government? There are reports in the media about what's happening in Kashmir. We know that. It's been clear. Despite the blackout, there are reports of arrests. There are reports of detention of Kashmiri leaders.
Arbitrary?
Yes, there are reports of that throughout the media that you can find, even in the Indian media. So it's not like I'm saying anything that's not happening.
Coming back to the extrajudicial, you've not said anything to me.
There have been reports about, are you saying to me there's never been?
No, after the revocation of Article 370.
The reports, I haven't seen the reports directly about that. But there have been reports about extrajudicial killings. We've seen a conflict zone of 70 years. This happens. There have been violent extremists and terrorist attacks that have been armed and supported by Pakistan. We know that. Okay. There have also been actions taken by the Indian military, which you would say were not up to scratch and should be those soldiers should be charged and so on. There's been all sorts of allegations of things going on.
But this is in the context of the revocation of 370, isn't it?
Yeah, well, since the revocation, there's been many, many reports about arrests going on of leaders and thousands of people who have been detained. So it's not like, I mean, you can't hide from the truth. I support India. I think India is a great democracy. That doesn't mean I can't say that, you know, it does certain things that, you know, need to be looked at or whatever. Same with respect, obviously, when it makes its own decisions within its own democracy, you can't, that's not something we can talk about. But you can talk about actions that a government takes, like the opposition can. Like you can attack the Australian government for taking actions on refugees or not taking action on refugees on Manus and Nauru, which I have spoken out loudly about. That is part of being in a democracy. India is going to become a great power. It is already a great power. And with that great power comes a responsibility and a kind of a confidence that it shouldn't be feel like every time someone talks about an issue that India does and doesn't agree with India, that suddenly that's an attack on India or the Indian state. Okay. That is not the case.
So clearly you feel you have nothing to apologise for. And I put this to you again. If you had a time again, would you do the same speech exactly as it was?
Well,
do you have any regrets about that?
Always people in hindsight will look back and do things differently. I might have made some changes to it, certainly, if I'd known that the reaction was going to be like this. Certainly, absolutely. We're never, ever perfect in what we do. We can always improve and be better. But I just want the listeners to know that, you know, I've spent 20 years in foreign affairs being a great supporter and friend of India, and the strategic relationship with India was something that I have promoted for decades. When, by the way, these Australian officials that I used to work with 20 years ago were seeing India in the context of the Cold War and the non-aligned movement and didn't want to do anything with India, I was pushing hard for us to do military engagement with India and defence cooperation and security and enhancing our economic partnership and our strategic alliance in the region. That's something that I'm proud of, and no one can ever take that away from me. But that doesn't mean I can't talk about issues that are raised in our parliament or are there human rights issues. And it certainly doesn't mean if there's a comment or criticism of an action India takes that means that's you're against the Indian state. That's not the case.
Okay, you've clarified that. So I've just read an article today in the ABC where you say Labour can't take it for granted that the migrant communities will vote for them. And I'm now wondering, in the context of the discussion we've had, have you helped the Indian origin people in your community to make up their minds? And clearly you don't want to apologise for your comments. So are you hoping they'll just forget about it next time elections come around?
These people are intelligent adults, Manpreet. They can think for themselves. It's about a debate, a conversation, a discussion. People don't just vote on one particular issue. There are many Indian Australians in my community that care about education, about healthcare, about public infrastructure, about social welfare, about other issues, about entrepreneurship and support for small business. And they care about foreign affairs issues, obviously, with respect to India. And if they want to have a debate with me about that, they can. They've heard me today say how much I'm a supporter of India and our strategic relationship.
Which is missing in that
speech. In hindsight, you asked me earlier whether I would have done something differently. Maybe I should have said that as well, very clearly to that audience about my history. I was given a certain small amount of time to speak, and sometimes you can't include everything. But maybe in hindsight, I should have said, prefaced it by saying, I'm a friend of India and this is what I've done on the relationship for the past 20 years. We can always be better in hindsight, can't we? But with those people in the multicultural communities and the Indian community and the diversity of that community, it's about their needs. And I am very proud of my record of representing Indian Australians in the federal parliament and all of the things that are important to them, including foreign affairs, but not just foreign affairs. And I've done so as a voice for that community in the federal parliament for now 3-4 years. And I hope to continue to get the support of that community. It's up to them how they vote. I'm a democratically elected representative. I'll do my job. I'll do to my best ability, with my best judgment, as honest as I can about what I believe in and what I think is important for the national interest and for globally, for international relations, for Australia. And I'll do it on behalf of my constituents, and they will engage with me, and they do engage with me all the time, and they'll tell me what they think, and I'll do my best to represent them in the parliament.
Peter, appreciate the time that you've taken. I'll leave it up to our listeners whether they accept what you've said today or not. It's up to them. But, I hope you have fun at some of the Diwali events that are planned for the next weekend. Do let us know how you go with that.
Will do. Thanks, Manpreet. Thanks for having me. Cheers.
Facebook ute SBS Punjabi nu like karo, sanja karo, ate apne vichar vi pratao.